drier weather pattern and the USDA June supply and demand update. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Welcome to the morning podcast on the 11th of June, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank, and we'll review yesterday's USDA numbers. The markets reacted somewhat to the report. Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain, has analysis. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with the updated Indiana farm forecast, and it does call for a drier pattern. And coming up in the news, how Indiana crops are looking, especially compared to other states, in the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast. Eric Pfeiffer has that. The news begins right now here on HAT.
How our crops in Indiana are doing compared to other states and a new program from the Soy Checkoff. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Country Mark and its member cooperatives, your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. The latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast with Purdue Extension soybean specialist Sean Castile and corn specialist Dan Quinn is available now at HoosierAgToday.com. They discuss where the Indiana crops are developmentally and how we're faring against other states. For example, Castile recalls a conversation with an agronomist in the Dakotas where they said,
"Our grass is brown. I mean, it's like August already. And so, yeah, certainly the conditions up there are much, much more dire than what we have." Conversations were that it doesn't look bad yet, but it's not going to take long for that to turn. There's a fair amount of irrigation, so some of that's going on. Some product supply of irrigation supplies is going to be kind of limited at that point, as the guy I was talking to. So, I think they're on this case of it's on the edge if we don't get some rains all season long, because they didn't get, from my understanding, the conversation I had was they didn't get much of a recharge through their winter, didn't get much snowfall, their spring and everything, so they're able to plant quickly, but they're just going to be a day or two away from a drought.
Quinn is hearing similar reports.
I've seen reports come out of Dakota that they were scouting frost damage in 100-degree heat. The difficulty they've had, those heavy temperature swings that we've been seeing. We've seen some of that in Indiana, too, where we've seen kind of some corn coloration differential. But especially in those Dakotas, northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, where it got really warm early. A lot of folks planted heavily. They got in early, and then it got really cold, and now it's getting really warm again.
Quinn says we've been pretty lucky here for the most part.
We've been really fortunate where that rain pattern's just kind of come across, Kentucky, up in Indiana, hit Ohio. And it's just really missing states like Wisconsin, Michigan.
And Iowa, they've also been missing out on the rains recently. Hear more on this discussion in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast at HoosierAgToday.com. The soybean industry is helping farmers manage pesticide resistance to decrease crop loss and input costs. The Take Action program from the Soy Checkoff partners with crop protection companies, commodity groups, and university researchers to help farmers do just that. Purdue's Dr. Bill Johnson says the program provides farmers the tools they need to battle yield-robbing pests.
The Take Action program is a checkoff program from the soybean industry to offer tips to reduce the impact of resistant pest species like herbicide-resistant weeds, resistant insects, and resistant diseases. It's really important to stay on top of pesticide resistance, because moving into this next era of farming, we're either dealing with resistance to one of the three main pests on our farm right now, or it's in the area and we'll have to manage it in the future. So it is a long-term commitment moving forward.
The Take Action program has resources available for farmers to manage resistance issues on their farm.
These specific pieces of information were developed with the idea to help growers manage current problems with these pests, but also to think about some of the future crop technology as well. One of the most popular things that we've developed is this herbicide classification chart, which helps growers keep track of the number of times that they use a specific herbicide in their rotation, even though the trade names can change. And this is really important for reducing selection pressure for herbicide-resistant weeds.
Johnson says you can find the resources and more online at IWillTakeAction.com. More farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. Scattered showers are going to linger over Indiana today. However, we are moving into a drier pattern. Here's what I mean by that. It really looks like the pop-up action that we've seen the past few days, actually most of this week, is now kind of slinking off to the south and east. I think most of the action here through the daytime hours today pops up I-70 southward. I'll make some exceptions in east central Indiana up into Jay County, Blackford County, even southern parts of Adams or Wells County, but you get the idea. It's mostly south and then east central, and we're looking at rain totals there. If you see the action anywhere from a few hundreds to a few tenths, keep in mind the popcorn setup that we've seen for most of this week so far will still be in play, even in these areas. Everybody turns out partly to mostly sunny to start your Saturday. It's a little bit muggy out there, very warm, and that will breed some scattered showers. I can't rule them out late Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. Coverage only about 40% of the state. Central to north, I think, is probably the best location. But that's key because that could be the last round of moisture that we see for the rest of the 10-day forecast period. After midnight Saturday night, we dry down. We are partly to mostly sunny, warm, and dry for the entire week next week. Second half of the week, I think, Thursday, Friday, we could turn out really hot, actually, and there's no rain around at all the way through Sunday the 20th. So if you have been in an area that has picked up several inches of rain this week, even if it came mostly all at once and you were grumbling about it at the time, a week from now, you're probably going to be pretty happy. You're definitely going to be more happy than areas that picked up a half an inch or nothing, all right, because we are going to be shifting into a week-long dry stretch as we go through next week, no doubt about it. The heat, though, is always a wild card, because if we build too much heat, especially the second half of the week, we can see some instability leading to thunderstorms. But right now, I'm not putting any of that in the forecast. It's warm and dry going forward. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn up and soybeans mixed on USDA Report Day. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. It was a mixed day of trade before and after the USDA report. We have all the numbers coming up. First, market analysis, and I checked in right at the end of trade with Mike Silver for that. Mike with Kokomo Grain. USDA supply and demand report, and it was definitely an interesting one. Really went as expected as far as the market supported by the numbers, corn. The market not supported by the numbers, soybeans, but other than that, there were some surprises. Talk about it.
Okay, Andy, you've done a good job so far in your commentary there about what it was. Really not too many changes, as you said, but there were some adjustments made. First of all, USDA did reduce the Brazilian corn crop 3.5 million tons. That's probably not the final adjustment to that crop based on USDA's number compared to some of the private estimates that we've seen come out. But at least USDA did acknowledge in this report that the dry weather down there has taken its toll on the estimated production in Brazil. So that they did incorporate that into the world balance table. And of course, that was supportive. There were some adjustments made in the domestic U.S. table. In both the 20 crop year, 2021 crop year, we had 150 million bushel reduction in ending stocks in the 2021. And the net effect of all that was that in the 21-22, which is our new crop, from the May report, we've dropped 150 million bushel to 1.357 billion bushel projected carryout. So just some minor change there. In the soybeans, USDA adjusted the 2021 crush number, which increased our carryout net effect 15 million bushel higher in the carryout projection compared to the May report, now at 155 million bushel projected soybean carryout on August 31st of next year. So that was a little negative to the soybean market today, although we did in trading November soybeans up 11 and a quarter cents today. And the net effect of the support that we got out of the report from the corn side was that we closed July corn up 8 1/4 cents and D's up 6 3/4. So all in all, Andy, I mean, some minor changes, but basically, as we said at the front end, pretty much in line with trade expectations. Now, there are a couple of dynamics that I want to talk about that are going on in the market right now. In the soybean market, cash basis levels here in Indiana, our major processors are either against the July futures, the August futures, or the November futures. So basis levels at the processors are very erratic. And spreads are still very, very dynamic. So our soybean basis values are changing almost every day, and they are getting weaker for the most part. In fact, they are getting weaker. So as producers evaluate basis levels, they'll want to remember that these spread dynamics are affecting these basis values. So one has to be very careful in comparing one processor to another and make sure that they get the basis reference against the right futures month. And we're also seeing some of that now start to emerge in the corn market with a few of the ethanol plants basing their bids against the September, while others are against the July. And of course, with an inverted market, that basis level versus the inverted value in the September makes that basis value really attractive. But again, you have to make sure that the basis level that you're comparing facility to facility to references the right futures month. And you can't make that basis judgment based on just the basis value because of the inversion in the futures market. And that inversion is still there, and these spreads are very, very active. And that continues to be a challenge for the commercials, certainly, as we try to manage our merchandising programs and make sure that we manage the risk associated with those very, very volatile spread changes. And of course, the daily trading ranges from our daily highs to our daily lows, since we had the change in the trading, the daily trading limits, they're very dynamic. This market is, it's like riding a bull at a rodeo. It's just all over the place. But what I was able to do today, Andy, and what I'd encourage producers to continue to do is to get offers into the market at their selling price, both old crop and new crop. And during all that price volatility today, we were able to fill quite a few offers that folks have given us at values better than our closes tonight. So, again, I encourage folks to get open orders into the marketplace and look at minimum price strategies and be very cautious as they compare basis levels at the various processors and delivery points across Indiana to make sure that they're making accurate comparisons. Sometimes that's not always the case, but I know the majority of folks try to do that. So I want to encourage folks to continue to do that. The export sales report this morning, mostly within the range of expectations, but on the low side, certainly nothing stellar in the export sales report. But the weather market continues, Andy. And basically, you know, folks asked me ahead of the report what I thought was going to happen. And I said, you know, I really don't know whether we're going to be higher or lower, but regardless of which way it is, until weather patterns change and we get some relief from the heat and some more moisture in these drier portions of the Corn Belt, we're probably going to continue to trade this weather market with an upward bias. And looking at the noon weather reports today, that's my conclusion going into trade tomorrow, that we're going to continue to trade weather. We need to watch the weather forecasts. We need to get our open orders into the market if we're sellers at values above where we're trading right now, and see if we can't capture some opportunity here. Crops look good on my travels across Indiana. Stands look good, both corn and soybeans. I think we're off to a really good start. But as always, Mother Nature holds the final deciding factor here as we move through the growing season to see what she does to us in terms of temperature and precipitation. So that's about it for today, Andy. I will have in my Silver's comments on the Kokomo Grain website this afternoon, early evening, links to all the information that came from USDA today, as well as some other thoughts. So would invite folks to visit that or to give me a call if they have particular questions relative to their own situation.
Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain, the number there, 800-666-0613. More numbers now. Settlements from Thursday, July, corn 699, gaining 8 1/4 Thursday. September up 6 1/4, 638 1/4. And Dece ends at 616 1/2, up 6 3/4. July soybeans, 1544, 18 1/2 lower. August contract, 1510, that was down 13 cents, but a pickup in new crop beans. November, 1459 1/2, up 11 1/4. And mixed in wheat with the front month up, July, 683 3/4, up just 1 1/2. Livestock mixed, August live cattle, 118.55, up 27 cents. July lean hogs, 121.32, 17 cents lower. There's a look at the Thursday markets. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.